Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and I'm on my own today. Russia's going to be in the spotlight this week, and it's likely to come under criticism as people, including the bereaved relatives of victims, almost 300 victims, mark two terrible anniversaries. Today, July 15th, is 10 years since human rights activist Natalia Estemirova was abducted outside her apartment building in Chechnya's capital, Grozny, and found dead in Ingushetia with multiple gunshot wounds later in the day. So she was kidnapped and killed. Estemirova worked for Moscow-based Memorial Human Rights Group and had been a school teacher, but became an activist during the first war in Chechnya in the 1990s. And now the other anniversary is on Wednesday, July 17th, will be 5 years since Malaysia Airlines flight MH17 was shot down over the war zone in eastern Ukraine, killing all 298 people on board. The passengers and crew apparently had no chance of survival as the plane, a Boeing 777, on what should have been a routine flight from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur, was struck at a high altitude. It crashed into fields and woods in territory held by the Russia-backed separatists, whose war against Kiev had started 3 months earlier, and that war is still continuing now, simmering and with more than with about 13,000 people killed since April 2014, according to the UN. Now, Estemirova's killing and the shooting down of MH17 are obviously very separate events that are not directly linked, but I would argue that they're connected in a way, because I think they're both the results, at least in part, of strategies and tactics that Russian President Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin have used to gain influence or maintain influence or carry out their actions or policies, both inside and outside Russia. And obviously, inside Russia would be Chechnya. Ramzan Kadyrov, the leader there, was first appointed, I think, by Putin. I think in 2007 he'd already been coming up through the ranks. Was the son of Ahmad Kadyrov, who was the leader before that, until his killing. Now, as far as I know, you know, and I'm not sure of the details. As far as I know, there's no direct evidence linking Kadyrov to Estemirov's killing, but it's you know, this is something that happened kind of under his watch, and rights activists had been complaining and warning, you know, for a few years about the climate of fear. I remember being in Chechnya myself. I think it was before Kadyrov was the leader. I think he was in a lower post, but there was a meeting with him, and he lashed out against human rights activists, something that he's been doing. You know, to this day, he's still, for instance, I think it was last year, he was saying that, you know, human rights activists should no longer be in Chechnya, we're not welcome. And obviously, Estemirova's successor as kind of Memorial's person in Chechnya was jailed earlier this year on what he and Memorial and others say was a falsified drug possession charge, and he just got out of jail recently. Now, so I think, you know, her death, Estemirova's death, was kind of a result or a byproduct of this climate of fear that rights activists accused Kadyrov of putting in place in Chechnya. And of course, what activists and analysts, you know, and many people who watch the Kremlin say is that Putin kind of leaves him in place, or, you know, tapped him and continues to use Kadyrov or to leave him in place in order to kind of keep a lid on on the situation in Chechnya after the two wars in the 1990s and early 2000s, and amid the kind of simmering or insurgency in Chechnya and the Caucasus. So, you know, and I think there have been a lot of times when Putin has been called on to, you know, to get rid of him or to at least kind of instill order or force Kadyrov to abide by the Russian constitution, Russian laws, which activists say he's flouting. And obviously the Kremlin has not done that yet, One question being, you know, is it does not want to do it or cannot do it or both? So, you know, so that's the situation there, I think, in short. Now, in eastern Ukraine, you know, MH17, here there's more evidence indicating, I think, who was behind it, who shot the plane down. And we know that from the international investigation, we know, and as well as also from journalists who have reported and did report this, you know, we know that the Buk missile that struck the plane was fired by a launcher that had been brought in from Russia and then was taken back to Russia shortly after MH17 was shot down. And, you know, there's specific people that have now been named by the investigators who are Dutch-based as being involved. Now, that trail, you know, regardless of where that trail eventually leads and sort of what the role of Russian forces is specifically in eastern Ukraine, I mean, these are both cases, I think, where it's the Kremlin and Russia, you know, acting through proxies, essentially. You know, in Chechnya, Kadyrov there to kind of maintain order, keep a lid on things. And in eastern Ukraine, the separatists and the Russians who have led or fought alongside them, essentially there to further Russian policy in Ukraine after Moscow-friendly President Viktor Yanukovych was pushed from power in Kiev in February 2014. So, you know, I think, you know, what happened there was that apparently what happened was that the separatists or whoever fired the fired the missiles, whether it was separatists or Russians, thought that they had shot down a Ukrainian military plane, or at least, you know, in some cases boasted of this, but in fact it was a passenger plane, you know, this is sort of a byproduct of you know what the Kremlin was doing there. You know, trying to maintain it. It had seized seized Crimea from Ukraine, and then fomented separatism in eastern Ukraine. And then after Yanukovych was pushed out, you know, it was backing these separatists. So I think in both cases, there's kind of a link to what Russia was doing in these areas and how it's trying to get things done in these areas in Chechnya, which is obviously in Russia. And in eastern Ukraine. So, I guess that's it for today. I'll be back next Monday to take a look again at the week ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please check out my weekly article this Friday in the Week in Russia newsletter. Thanks for listening.